103.9 1450 WKXL, NewHampshireTalkRadio.com. My name is Jane Cormier, and welcome back to Artful Living. Is it B-R-I-C-K-S?
B-R-I-X.
B-R-I-X, new word for Scrabble. I never knew that word, bricks. We have silver singles. But, well, that's what you do when you're outside.
The show must go on.
That's right. Welcome to Artful Living. This is your host, Jane Cormier, here on WKXL 1450 AM, 103.9 FM Concord, and 101.9 FM in Manchester, which is a new, I'm told we call it a stick. So we have a new station that is now bringing us out to Manchester, or I don't know what you call it, you know. But we're happy to have 101.9 FM in Manchester. And, of course, programming on nhtalkradio.com. So we have a wonderful guest today here on Artful Living. And it's someone that I actually had the opportunity to work with for many years at Founders Academy. And she's going to talk to us about the importance of theater. Now, we've talked about music, we've talked about all kinds of artful things here. So we have never had someone come on and talk about the importance of theater in our lives. And
I'm so glad I can be here to do that.
Kate Moat, this is Kate Moat, and Kate, welcome to Artful
Thank
Living.
Thank you.
So tell us a little bit. You're a theater educator.
Yep. I'm a theater educator from Southern New Hampshire. I was really born into it. I'm a second-generation theater director, and so I got to see it all growing up, and I was very much a part of it, and that became very much a sense of community for me growing up. So then when I got a little bit older and I was in college and graduate school, I decided that I wanted to start my own company. I did that for a while.
Cool. I didn't know that.
Yeah,
what
was
it called?
The King's Theatrical Company.
Awesome.
And we performed a few shows, but then I started teaching full time, and I started directing with the school. So I started shifting my focus a little
bit.
And did theater at the middle school and high school level. And now I am actually a board member of the New Hampshire Educational Theater Guild.
Wow.
And I represent New Hampshire when we go to New England drama festivals. So
for the folks that don't know what a drama festival, what is that?
Yeah, so drama festivals are really about showcasing student work and really encouraging students to expand their knowledge and their skills. So you bring a show of 40 minutes. It can't be anything more than that. Mm-hmm. You perform it, and you get to see all the other schools perform their shows as well. And then what I think is the most crucial piece is you get adjudicator response.
Mm.
So they sit there in the front row, and the whole audience gets to hear all of the feedback that they're getting. And sometimes the questions from adjudicators, why did you make this choice? Mm. What was your process in this design? And at the end of the day, after they've had time to see all of these other awesome shows and meet these theater kids from other towns, they get to sit through an award ceremony where students are recognized for excellence in theater.
Mm-hmm.
And then it has a few different levels. So you start with regional festivals, you move on to the state festival, and then from state festival, only two shows are selected to move on to New England's.
Cool.
And we've been a little bit off with COVID.
Yes.
And all.
But like everything else in this world, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
But hopefully we're getting back on track mm-hmm. with that. And it's been incredible. I went last year, or the last time we had a New England festival, and to see the shows from around New England was amazing. And they're all so different in style.
Yeah.
It's a great study of what kids can do in theater.
Yeah, especially when you offer them the opportunity to demonstrate, you know, what it is that they have. You did mention something when you first started talking, and you said theater community.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not sure that a lot of our listeners would even understand the importance of what that is. Well, tell us what that means for you.
Yeah, so when you're doing a show in theater, you usually spend a good amount of time developing the show with a group of people. Mm. So sometimes that's as simple as, you know, you get together after rehearsals, after practices, and you're painting the set, you're building things, you're acquiring costumes or props. Mm-hmm. There's so many different ways to really fit in and plug in to that group. And you spend so much time together, you're really creating your own community
right.
of people. And one of the things that I think I'm proudest of in my time as a theater director is the sense of community that develops through right. the program, that students find other friends
yes.
that they would not have found otherwise.
Right.
It brings together all sorts of people and really sees them for what they bring. It doesn't have to be, not everyone has to be the same.
They frequently aren't.
Exactly.
And that's a good thing.
Exactly. It really values diversity in that way.
Yes.
And so
in ways that people just wouldn't even know.
Yes.
You know?
Absolutely.
That's really
so
great.
So someone can have like a really obscure skill on something mm-hmm. and all of a sudden that's exactly what you need to bring to the group.
Right.
So
and for the individual
yeah.
that has that perhaps obscure skill to be validated by the community
absolutely.
Because of that skill builds their sense, you know,
yeah.
their sense of worth.
Yeah. I think too, like one of the great qualities of doing theater is you're working as a team.
Yeah.
And I often think of it in terms of, you know, like a sports team, although
it is.
It doesn't always get the same recognition
no.
as sports teams do, but yep. You know, it's a great way to form that teamwork because if one person doesn't do their job,
it shows.
It's the whole team has to really be on the same page.
Yep.
And there always comes a point in all of my shows, which I tell my actors, look, I'm not going to be on stage. Look at the people around you because these are the people who are going to help carry the show with you.
Right.
And so that really brings that sense of community when you have to be able to count on each other.
And I have a belief that, and of course, I'm coming from the opera side mm-hmm. or the music side, chorus side. But I have a belief that because as a world with social media and the way that our society is making so many changes for mm-hmm. good or for ill, the interaction in these performing groups are offering these kids getting together
yes.
that wouldn't happen otherwise because we're cutting ties. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
We don't even eat dinner together as families anymore, right? We're all too busy. We're all doing our own thing.
Yes.
But you know what? Thank God there are places that these kids can go together and be validated, learn their art form, perform their art form. That is so huge to the human spirit.
It really is. A sense that you're doing something larger than yourself.
Right.
That it means something. I think if you were to break it down, you see like, well, we're doing all of this work for one weekend, two weekends.
Yeah.
But really, you're building something that's beyond that.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be remembered and it will live on past that moment. And that's really special.
It does live on past the moment. You know, working with so many kids myself, I'm always amazed at... For instance, last year we had a number of kids do the Youth Opera Festival in Ringe, right? They came out for 7 days and we lived together in a dormitory and performed, you know, three shows, right? And you put it away and you do the next thing, right? To hear those kids talk about that this week, I heard some students talk about it, about these things that happened
mm-hmm.
that were so teeny that I had forgotten about, that I didn't even think about, but that they carried with them.
Yes.
Because they remembered it.
Yeah, absolutely.
It is forever.
It is.
You know?
And it changes them
yeah.
and helps shape them into the people they're going to become in life. And
absolutely.
That's incredible to see. One of my favorite things about theater, actually, and I talk about this with my students, is that theater... And acting in particular really requires you to practice empathy.
Yeah.
Too.
Sure.
Because you have to put yourself aside and put yourself in someone else's role.
Right.
And imagine what they would feel like and what their experiences would be.
Right.
And so I think that also adds to the sense of community, too, that you're hopefully developing individuals who
yeah.
are more empathetic and,
right.
and understanding of the world around them.
Absolutely. I mean, that's so huge today. because I think we're in the deficit of empathy.
I agree.
You know, we don't even have to agree with the person that we're looking at to have empathy for them.
Yeah.
You know, so it's a good skill, or it's a good thing. I don't know if it's a skill or what it is, but it's something that's, I think, invaluable for students to experience while they're young.
Yeah, absolutely. And when you put them in a group together like that, too, like even when it's not acting, even if it's a design choice that they have to make, they have to come to some sort of conclusion together and practice. How do you communicate that? How do you work as a team?
Yeah.
When you don't always agree on things and you have to come to some sort of resolution.
Right.
As we say, the show must go on.
Yes, absolutely.
So how do we make that happen? So many great skills that students learn.
You're right. So, without even having to say it, theater, the arts in general, I think, make such a huge contribution to the human being that I just wish it was valued more.
Oh, like, I completely agree.
I'm a sports fanatic. I love all sports.
Oh, I am too.
You know, but I do wish, just like you said, that a little bit more attention maybe would be given to the importance of the arts, because we know that in some schools they're not given the importance that they deserve.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I'll tell you too that for some of these kids, the arts, it just saves them.
Mm-hmm.
It may be the one thing that they think that they're good at, the one place they feel accepted, and they may struggle academically,
right.
But maybe in the arts they thrive, and that can save them and put them on a completely different path in life.
Yes, totally. You know what? I'm going to say something that might sound controversial. I'd love to hear your opinion on it.
Sure.
So I don't know about you, but in working with kids for the past 15 years. 20 years, actually, I definitely think that I have seen a majority of kids come into the performing arts that were maybe challenged, a large majority that were challenged in the what we call the normal scholastic sense, but excelled in the performing arts sense.
Yeah.
Is there any truth to that? Or is that, I feel that's true, but
it's a completely different. Really, it's a different kind of intelligence
of
a sort, right? And I think, too, there's something to be said about a willingness to risk something that you do in theater and the arts in general.
Yeah.
You have to be willing to stand up in front of people and risk things going wrong.
Right.
And be able to overcome that. And maybe that's true. Maybe that's what those individuals are looking for.
Yeah.
Is that sense of safety,
yeah.
but also taking reasonable risks.
There's
one of my favorite theater organizations, the Eugene O'Neill Theater Center in Connecticut. They workshop new shows, and their motto is risk, fail, risk again.
Yeah.
And I think so many of our students need that.
Yes,
they absolutely need to know how to come back from something, especially in the aftermath and dealing with currently COVID.
Yeah.
How do you risk it and come back?
Right.
And it takes a lot of bravery and confidence and courage. And that's one thing that I think the arts and theater, in my experience, can definitely give students.
Sure, if we let it.
Yes, if we let it.
I mean, there's been so much shut down, and there's so much now, I think, overkill. I know that might sound a little bit strange, especially since we have so many people negatively impacted, certainly by COVID. But at what point do we come back? At what point do we allow people to interact again? We're social animals.
We are. We are. And I would tell my students, too, who would be really discouraged during the pandemic.
Yeah.
I would say, you know what? The arts always finds a way, though, to survive, to keep going, to morph and adapt and change.
Right.
So
we got to get back to live performing.
We do. And we're getting there.
Yes,
we are. We're getting there. Yeah. And I think it makes sense to kind of inch our way there slowly, bit by bit, so that we're making steady gains.
Yes. I think we are making some gains now. Because the venues are allowing people to come in and rent the facilities again. You maybe can't use the full capacity of the theater, but at least now we can get into the theater.
Yes.
And let's face it. I mean, if you're in a stage or reasonably, like the Concord City Auditorium, it's a 950-seat house, good size stage. If you have a smallish to medium cast on that stage, and you have, you're watching the seating and people can mask in the audience, I think that's a safe way to proceed.
Yeah.
And I think we are heading there.
I think we are too. And what I've seen some theater groups do as well is they've even live streamed,
yep.
which is a challenge
yep.
in of itself, as I'm sure you know.
Yep.
But then that allows access for those who maybe don't feel comfortable. So you're kind of like giving a range of options.
That there's something there you can do.
Exactly.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, this is Jane Cormier. You are with Artful Living, and our guest today is Kate Moat. And we're talking about theater and how important it is in our lives and in the education process of our youth. So, Kate, tell me, what is your favorite genre of theater?
Oh, my favorite genre. Well, it's interesting that you asked that question. I really enjoy historical dramas.
Wow, really?
I do. And cool. Part of that is the research that goes into it. I'm just, I guess, a history nerd that way.
Wow.
I think the costuming is fun. But recently, I've gotten into also some abstract theater, which is fun, too, because it just challenges the way that you
see everything.
Exactly.
Yeah. Like what? Give me an example.
So this is actually a performance that, unfortunately, was canceled by COVID.
Uh-huh.
But hopefully it'll make its way to the stage at some point.
Yeah.
It was an adaptation of William Shakespeare's Midsummer Night's Dream. And it was set during the Jazz Age. And
cool.
We involved music that way, which mm-hmm. is one of the also great things about theater is it is so collaborative
right.
that it brings in all of the other art forms as well.
Yep.
So we translated it so that the magic in the story was actually became music. And
very
so we
cool.
had the jazz band there that was playing music. We had live singing. We had some very magical elements of the set. And we're really breaking down and deconstructing the characters.
Yes.
Who are they? How does their story change if we change their occupation?
Yep.
So I actually really enjoyed that because it challenged the way that I viewed the original story.
Right.
And it also was just a demonstration of how Shakespeare's stories can change and adapt to meet the needs of the right. production, which is
flexible.
Great.
Flexible.
Exactly.
Great art is always flexible.
Absolutely.
You know, it's the less than great, I think, that doesn't hang tight, hang together.
Yes.
You know, when the challenge hits.
Exactly.
You know? So that's great. So you said that was canceled.
Yep. Unfortunately, we were bringing that show to our festival. Mm. We were about a week out, and festival's canceled. So
yeah.
Hopefully one day we get to perform that again, bring it back. But that was a great show to even put together.
Yeah.
From a student who adapted it and worked on writing that script to doing 1920s magical.
Yeah, that's cool.
Costuming, set design, all of those elements.
Yeah. That's yeah. great. Good for you. And certainly for the students that, you know, it's bad, it's sad for them that they didn't get to actually perform it, but they got through the whole process of doing all of that.
Exactly.
Which is in and of itself, you know.
Yeah, and they have
thing.
Those memories.
That's
those,
right.
As you were just talking about earlier, those little memories that you wouldn't think stick with them,
yeah.
but they do. That memory of doing the painting together
yes.
or rehearsals.
Yes, all the drama.
Exactly.
You know, that's really what it is. You know, all shows, musicals, whatever you're talking about, there is such a sense of life, you know, while you're doing the
yes.
shows, you know, and it's because of all the human dramas that go in there and keep everybody on their toes, you know?
Exactly.
And people remember that. So
oh, yeah.
That's great. That's great. Well, we are with Kate Moat. We are Artful Living. My name is Jane Cormier, WKXL 1450 AM, 103.9 FM Concord, and our new station tag, 101.9 FM in Manchester. Also, you can catch our show on nhtalkradio.com. We're going to take a little break for some commercials, and we will come right back. Thank you. Welcome back to Art for Living. This is Jane Cormier, your host, WKXL 1450 AM and 103.9 FM Concord and 101.9 FM in Manchester. We have a guest today. Where do you live, Kate?
I live in Merrimack.
Merrimack, New Hampshire. I was going to say from, and then I realized I wasn't sure where Kate.
Yes.
So this is Kate Mode from Merrimack, New Hampshire, and she is an educator and an expert in theater production.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, you have quite a resume.
Yeah.
So tell us how, where did you go to school? And
yeah, so I come at theater from a little bit of a different perspective. I actually come at it from more of an English language arts literature base. So that
should be fairly common, right?
It is fairly common, yeah. And I think, you know, along the way, you learn some of the more technical elements of theater as well.
Mm-hmm.
But the ability to really read a character, analyze a character, take apart a script, and study its plot.
Mm-hmm.
As I'm always telling my students, the subtext, what is it really saying?
Right.
Those skills, you know, you learn in studying literature. So that's really the direction I came from. And I went to UNH, got my bachelor's degree in English.
Cool.
Went to SNHU, got my master's degree in English and my master's in teaching English in the secondary setting.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Cool.
So that's really my experience there. And then just having grown up a theater director's kid,
yep.
You get a little bit of everything. So
right.
If lights need to be managed, then someone has to go run the lights. And so I've done that.
So you've done the technical work as
yes.
well as in front, the yes. director work.
Yes. And I did some acting, too.
Did
in
you?
In high school. I did.
Okay.
I keep saying that one day I'll get back to it. But
did you like it?
I did.
What did you do?
So I did a lot of Agatha Christie shows in particular.
Really?
I enjoyed that a lot.
Yeah.
I did do some musicals when I was in high school
oh
as well,
goodness.
Which
what
I enjoyed.
Musicals? What did you do?
I was Peppermint Patty and You're a Good Man, Charlie Brown.
Oh, that's a cute show.
It is.
Awesome.
I also did Into the Woods. And,
oh, my goodness. Yes, we're going to be doing Into the Woods at Founders Academy.
Oh, great.
That is not an easy show.
It's not. No. No. Sondheim doesn't do us
no,
a ton
he
of favors.
Doesn't.
But it's a good show. It's
it
a
is.
Good small cast show.
Mm-hmm.
Very memorable. Again, it's about making those memorable moments.
Sure, sure.
Along the way.
You know, I was today, it's funny you brought up Stephen Sondheim. I watched I was previewing a DVD on the life of Sondheim.
Mm.
And it was going great until 3/4 of the way through when we had some salty language. So
ooh.
I thought, oh, I can't show my kids. But you know what? What a great background that guy had. You know, here he was a composer.
Mm-hmm.
Just, you know, he loved composition, but he also was a decent lyricist. And I never knew this. Did you know this about Sondheim? That his mother, he said, was sort of a star watcher.
Hmm.
And where they were living in New York, she realized that Oscar Hammerstein lived like 3 streets down.
Wow.
And she found a way to introduce her son to his family.
Wow. Back in the times before social media.
Can you believe that?
Wow.
I never knew this story. And he became very close with that family, with the, you know, Hammerstein and Oscar. And it was Oscar Hammerstein that gave him all of his early breaks in the business and his first gig. Even though he was a composer now, he's a great composer, was writing the lyrics for West Side Story.
Wow.
And he thought that that was, you know, he was happy to have it because Oscar told him this would be a great experience for you. But he was afraid, oh, I'm going to get stuck writing lyrics, right?
Mm.
And he talks about all of his background, and this is a great DVD. I'm sorry I can't share it with the kids. But what a lesson it is that the one thing that you thought wouldn't be what you should do, you do, and ends up giving you all the fame
yeah.
for what you were looking for.
Exactly.
Right? Isn't that the arts in general?
It is. It is the arts. And I encourage my students. I have some students who have gone to college for the arts, and a lot of them do music, but they also did some acting for me, too.
Mm-hmm.
And so I encourage them,
do
find other forms of the arts to get involved in, because that's just going to increase your creativity.
Absolutely.
Your creative power.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you're creative in one area, it bleeds into the other.
Yeah.
And it's just going to make you a better rounded
performer.
Exactly.
Yeah. Or
artist.
Or artist.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
So isn't that interesting?
Mm.
So what is your favorite musical?
The musical that I loved the most growing up, which is the one I'm going to go with because I feel like nostalgia is a good reason to base this off of,
okay.
is Oklahoma.
Oh, I love
Oklahoma.
I am shocked that you said Oklahoma.
It was my first Broadway show, actually, the first Broadway show that I saw. My mom got me tickets, and
we went, and
I loved it.
Well,
it was the Hugh Jackman production.
Oh, was it?
Mm-hmm.
You saw him in there. Did you like his singing? You know what? He kind of bothered me in his singing a little bit, but I love his on stage stuff.
I love the story of it.
And then I was able
to actually see the recent revival on Broadway, which is really interesting.
Why?
To see how they've changed it a little bit.
How'd they change it?
It's a little bit darker.
Okay.
Which is really interesting because they didn't change the words, but they brought out some of the darker elements within the musical itself.
Right.
And it had like a very, it was in a very small theater. They actually served like chili and cornbread during the intermission.
Oh, what a great idea.
Because it was the same like cornbread that we were watching her make in the beginning.
Holy moly.
And then they just like brought it out. And
that's brilliant.
So it just added more to it.
Is the bad guy? Who's the bad guy in that?
Judd.
I'm sorry. Curly's the good guy.
Yeah. Well, it depends on who you ask. But yeah, Curly's the good guy.
Oh my gosh. Really? Did they start that debate in that production?
I mean, I think it's a good conversation to have. But
okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know what? In the anti-hero, I could see how you could cast Judd as
They sort of think about Judd as being like a social outcast and that maybe he's a product of his community, which is an interesting take. It's interesting.
It's an interesting take, but not what the original was going for.
No, not traditional.
No. But, you know, by and of itself, Oklahoma wasn't when it came out. They were sure that thing was going to die a bad death on stage because of the controversial murder or killing.
Violence.
Yeah. And, but it was the dance that brought press coverage to that. Agnes. This was the premier choreographer for all of the state Broadway stage. If you had a Broadway musical, you wanted Agnes DeMille, isn't it, DeMille, to do it. And she brought balletic dance to Oklahoma and had the first sequence that we know of on stage that offered dance not as decorative, but as furthering the plot.
Yes.
And went down in history.
There's a famous ballet sequence in Oklahoma.
That's right. That whole sequence
was
to further the plot and changed musical theater from there on out. So kind of very cool. I'm surprised that you picked such an early musical.
Yeah, I grew up watching a lot of the older musicals.
Yeah.
Another one of my favorites was Seven Brides for Seven Brothers.
Yeah, that was always fun.
Yeah,
yeah.
Which is just catchy.
What's the other my favorite is the Richard Rodgers. It's not Oklahoma.
Carousel?
When You Walked, yes, Carousel.
Carousel. Mm-hmm.
That's the one.
I saw that one. I see a lot of shows. I don't see a lot of shows. I wish I saw more shows, but I saw that one recently. When it came back, they did a revival.
Yeah.
And it was amazing.
Oh, no, I think that show is one of the most beautiful shows ever written. We don't see that one for some reason.
It also has
a
dark tone to it.
It does. Well, it was later, but it had the same dark side to it, you know?
Complexities, let's call it that.
Complexities, but it did have a big redemptive ending on that.
It asks some really important questions, I think.
Mm-hmm.
That still resonate with us today.
Probably more than Oklahoma did.
Yeah.
You know, from the time that it was written.
Yeah.
Absolutely, yeah.
But that's the beauty of theater is that it can still be relevant today and ask important questions that we still need to be thinking about.
Yeah, great art lasts for nowhere around that one, right?
Yes.
So that's really cool. So we're here with Kate Moat, and she's from Merrimack, New Hampshire. She is a theater gal, and she has been educating our youth here in New Hampshire for a number of years at the Founders Academy. How long were you at Founders?
I was at Founders for 7 years. 7 years, yeah.
Wow, seven.
And then for 2 years or so before that, I was directing my own
company. Huh?
Yeah.
Yes. So you came at it, you said, through the English side. Do you think that that's the best way that one can break into it?
I think the best way to break into theater is to have a mindset of, I want to learn everything I can about this art form.
Yeah.
And so you might come at it with a certain strength, but I think wanting to look into all the different areas. Like for me as a director, I wanted to understand how the lights work.
Mm-hmm.
Because I wanted to be able to put my production together.
Oh, sure.
I want to know what work they're doing, what they need from me as a director.
Right.
I wanted to know as much as I could about the musical composition side of things.
Yeah.
I have had students in the past who have written original music for shows, for plays.
Very cool.
And have won awards. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to know how that works. I think really the best way to get into theater is to look for this well-rounded approach mm-hmm. of all the different facets of it. And I think one of the biggest misconceptions about theater is that it's for performers only.
Yeah, no way.
I tell my students all the time, most of the work in theater, you don't see.
Mm-hmm.
It's going on behind
the scenes. That's right.
So people, especially as we've gotten more advanced in technology,
yeah.
If you enjoy like doing graphic design mm-hmm. or programming, then there's great roles for kids to have backstage right. or in the booth. I think knowing all the different elements of it is really important.
Mm-hmm.
I think knowing as a director how to pick a good show.
Yeah, that's hugely important.
That has value.
Yeah, yeah.
Is important.
Let's pick that up on our next. That's a really good topic to talk about.
Yeah.
We're going to take a little break here at WKXL, 1450 AM, 103.9 FM Concord, and 101.9 FM in Manchester, our new station in Manchester. We're also at NewHampshireTalkRadio.com. This is Jane Cormier for Art for Living, and we will be right back. Welcome back to Art for Living. This is Jane Cormier, your host today, and our guest is Kate Moat. And we've been chatting about theater, and we've been chatting about how important theater can be in our communities, certainly for our children, our, you know, in school, a great way for them to learn about life in general through the art of theater. And Kate, before we had our break, you talked a little bit about, as a theater director, that if you were going to, you know, ask someone or tell someone how to get involved, try to embrace the entirety
yes.
of it, right? Be well-rounded,
yeah.
understand all the concepts. As a theater director, and I've often thought about this because it's different than music, how do you happen to come across what you want to do? Like what play?
Yeah.
Let's say you're going to bring on a show. How do you do that?
So this is where we get the educational part in theater, which is figuring out what skills do you want your students to learn?
Ah, okay.
And so thinking about like what is the value of the show? What is this going to teach them? Obviously, if you're doing a comedy, you're going to be doing a lot of work on comedic timing. And how to help the joke land.
Hopefully.
And maybe even physicality, because that often goes along
physical
hand
humor,
in hand.
Yeah, absolutely.
So you have to have students who are ready to sort of take that risk
mm-hmm.
And go in that direction. If you're doing a drama, you have to really dive into some serious emotional connections
yeah.
to the characters. In the past, I've had students who had to... this is a challenge known for high school students, but they had to have a romantic relationship on stage.
Oh my, that's always difficult.
And so
isn't it?
Getting the two of them
yes.
to do that was a bit of a challenge. And so we spend a lot of time, the three of us, just talking yeah. about our characters and helping them to make those further connections together. So there's
right.
a lot of work that goes into a well-crafted show.
Right.
And so if there's a clear objective for your students, things that they can learn. I think that's really important. Another question that I always ask my students is this story worth telling?
Mm-hmm.
And is this the best way to tell it? And that's not always true. There's some shows that probably shouldn't be performed by kids
mm-hmm.
because they're not the best audience to tell the story.
Right.
If it has a lot of great depth to it, sometimes it's not the best choice for kids.
It isn't. You're right.
Sometimes, it's not as safe for them.
You know what? And I have to tell you, that's probably been some, if I've had any criticism in seeing through the years, you know, different productions for youngsters, you know,
mm-hmm.
for the younger set. I have sometimes had issues with why would they give that show
mm-hmm.
to that age group?
Yeah.
Not that they couldn't do it necessarily, but what kind of inside experience
yeah.
can they really give to that show?
Yeah.
It's kind of beyond them, you know? So that's really important when you're
dealing
with kids.
Especially when it comes to like subject matter in particular.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, we've seen a variety of shows at festivals, and sometimes, you know, students have a strong reaction to a show.
Mm-hmm.
And oftentimes that's because they don't feel like it's a safe
right.
place to explore that concept.
Right.
And that there are some concepts that we just feel safer if it's adults on stage that are
right.
doing it instead of the kids.
Right.
But I think thinking about, like, what are they going to get out of this production?
Mm-hmm.
How am I growing the program? And thinking about
which
long-term.
Which is a whole other
topic.
Yeah, that's right.
Right. But thinking about, like, down the road,
right.
what show might I want to do?
Mm-hmm.
And what skills do we need to have for that? But also, hopefully, you've given them something to really sink their teeth into in terms of content,
yeah.
in terms of characters and depth.
Right.
A good play should have subtext. I always tell my students that.
At least, yes.
Yes. So what is the deeper story
right.
that's worth telling? Mm-hmm. One of my favorite experiences as we're sort of exploring stories, it was actually the last show that we brought to a physical festival. Last year's festival was virtual, but a physical one.
Yep.
And it was Silent Sky by Lauren Gunderson.
What was it?
It's called Silent Sky.
There you go.
By Lauren Gunderson.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of my favorite playwrights. And it's about women working in Harvard and the early experience of women being able to, like, read the plates but not really get the credits of
mm-hmm.
charting the stars.
Mm.
And so I actually took my students to Harvard Observatory.
Oh, that's cool.
And they were able to see the things that these people would have actually used
cool.
and make that deeper connection.
Right.
So I think, you know, when you give them characters that have depth,
right.
You're doing your students a great favor in that sense.
You
that
are.
They can explore more and learn more about themselves, ironically, through
hand
learning
in hand.
About somebody else.
Absolutely, hand
yeah.
in hand. And you're ultimately affecting the production for the audience because the multidimensional experience that those kids have show itself to the audience as they see the
yes.
show.
Yes, authenticity.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's
absolutely.
Really important.
Yeah.
So bringing in those real-life connections, I think, is really key for picking a show. And something with substance.
Mm-hmm.
I see so many shows these days. And, I mean, for lack of a better word, they're cheap. They're
yeah.
cheap shows.
Right.
So students may have fun. They may enjoy it.
But that's not the same thing.
It's not the same thing. It's really giving them a good challenge that right. they can succeed in.
That's
so,
right. Absolutely.
I think that's really key.
Let me ask you, where do you think the future is going for theater these days?
Hmm.
How do you feel about it? I mean, COVID certainly has changed so much of the theater scene
yeah.
physically in New York City, which, let's face it, is the, you know, people might not agree with this, but that is the hubs for
it is the hub,
you know, for theater
yeah.
development, certainly.
Yeah. So I think we're getting back on our feet as a theater community. I'm glad to see, in a sense, that we're taking a slow pace at
mm-hmm.
it. Because I think, like we said before, I think we're making gains.
Right.
As opposed to having to go backwards.
Right.
So we have these safety measures in place, and theater people are known for being innovative and creative in terms of problem solving. So I think
yeah.
there's a lot of companies that have existed through those creative solutions. I think the next thing we have to do is get an audience out there
right.
because
there is no theater if there's no one there
no,
to see it.
You have to have an audience.
Right.
It's this communal experience theater. You have to.
Community experience.
You have to have that.
Do you think, though, in general, that the pause that was put on the world for 2 years with COVID, I think that I know in the opera world, it has really decimated some portions of the opera world, which was already pretty small. The niche opera, you know, art form that it's become, these smaller companies that close their doors and will never probably reopen them. And the larger companies that have, you know, gone smaller right now until they, you know, can get back on their feet and do it. But I'm wondering if not actually the COVID itself, but do you think that the trajectory for theater will rise from
mm-hmm.
this, or do you think that it's going to be kind of like hang on as long as you can?
I think there's a hunger for it.
Do you?
I do. I'm hearing this from a few different directors in different programs, but seeing like a big influx of freshmen, in particular in your high school programs, who are hungry for doing something that means something outside of themselves.
Yeah.
So I think we'll see it continue to grow that way. I think theater will adapt. I think we'll continue to see filmed productions, which will be made available for audiences to see around the country, regardless of what part of the world you might be from, that you can see a production, you can see Hamilton being performed.
But you know what? The difference is so vast from film to theater. And you know, the days where when we were watching, or not necessarily you and I, because, well, me certainly, I'm a lot older than you. But, you know, the talents of, and this goes for opera as well, because you can't do opera small. You're on a big stage. You have a big orchestra. Everything that you physically do has to reach out to the house. And when you go on film, when you have to film something, you're told as the singing actor to pull it all back. That the things that you
different.
Did for the big house, you can't do because it doesn't look right on film.
But there is a difference when you're looking at a filmed production. So a night of theater performance that's been recorded versus made for movie.
So you're saying that if you're going to, you know, record the production.
I think there's a great value in that. I do. And I don't think it's by any means a replacement of live theater. But I think for some people, it gets them hooked.
Okay. It has.
Just
it
like
has
it did
place.
For me when I was in high school and I was watching Oklahoma and Seven Brides for Seven Brothers. It was very much outside and not really connected at all to like life as I knew it.
Right, right.
But I was intrigued by the story and how they told that story.
How they told it,
So I think we get more of that out there, right? It's more exposure.
Right.
And kids want to be involved. I think, like you said earlier, right? We want that human connection.
Yes, absolutely.
So if a kid sees Hamilton performed on their television, they might say, wow, that looks really cool. I want to become a part of that.
Yep. I think you're right with that. I was talking more of like the older audience, the older, you know, world of theater changing, you know, from the person who's going to put the money into the productions to back it up to the audience that will be sitting in the seats. I think the theater is going to go through a vast change in the next few years. Some of it from COVID, but some of it also because we've changed how we view interacting with each other.
Yeah, we have. And I think we'll get back to it. Maybe I'm just optimistic.
Yeah, I hope so.
But I think, too, like we need to bring in people who aren't familiar with theater. I think that's one of the criticisms of theater is that it draws the people who already know what theater is.
Right.
But how do you get that kid who's never seen?
Or that person that hasn't been
exactly,
through it.
And get them in.
Absolutely.
And so if we're able to bring more of those people in, I think that's even greater.
Yeah, I agree.
Greater impact.
I agree with you. We're going to take a very, very short station break here. Jane Cormier with Art for Living. My guest is Kate Moat, WKXL 1450 AM, 103.9 FM Concord, and the new 101.9 FM in Manchester. We're going to wait a second. We'll be right back. This is Jane Cormier, and we're just going to wrap up our Artful Living segment. Kate, this has been wonderful talking with you today. And I learned a little bit about you. I really think that you have been, certainly at Founders, the few years we worked together, instrumental at bringing a really wonderful experience to the kids that were in theater over at Founders.
Well, thank you, Jane. Thank you. That's really nice to hear. It's certainly, as an educator, it's a large part of what I'm most proud of, is bringing together that community. If I could give any one message to your audience right now, it's go and support theaters.
Yes.
Go see shows. We tend to think about best shows being on Broadway, but go to your local.
Yes.
Your local theaters.
It all
community begins local. Theaters.
Yes.
school theaters, even some of your regional theaters, you see some really great work performed there.
Right.
And artists
and we have
whose
to support
contributions
it.
Should be seen.
Absolutely. 100% agree with you.
Yes.
Thanks again for being with us.
Thank you so much for having me.
It was a pleasure. And for you, our audience, for staying with us for Artful Living, we're going to sign off here, WKXL 1450 AM. And congratulations to the station for having the new 101.9 FM in Manchester. And if you ever want to hear any program here offered on WKXL, you can just go to nhtalkradio.com. This is Jane Cormier. Have a great week.